You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we return here on another midweek edition here in the 2021 offseason of Locked On Ravens. Again, just we're getting to the point where it's starting to get like, oh, when is free agency going to get here? Are we getting there yet? Is it here yet? There are only a couple more weeks until free agency hits. I know right now it is a bit slow. The NFL season has ended. We're not quite to free agency yet. Again, it's just that lull period, as I've been calling it over the last couple of weeks, and it's a grind to get through, but we grind through it here every weekday on Locked On Ravens. And here in our midweek edition episode this week, it is, of course, our mailbag episode where we have two segments of mailbag questions, two in the first segment and two in the second segment. And then we'll be rounding out this episode by taking a look at some more mock drafts that we received via Twitter for Mock Draft Monday, because we did get so many that I couldn't get through all of them. And we'll still be taking a look at some more of those mock drafts throughout the rest of the week here on Locked On Ravens, as well as talking about some news, some drama that's happened over the past couple of days within Twitter and some social media spheres with Ravens players and whatnot, and much more. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, highlights, draft notes, free agency notes, and much more. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here. Starting off with a question from DanGlenn13, who asks, what do you think about getting Solomon Thomas on the cheap from the 49ers? Is it a good fit for the Ravens? And so taking a look first at who Solomon Thomas is, Thomas was selected in the 2017 draft. He was the third overall pick in that draft, and he's someone who has been somewhat of a disappointment in San Francisco, has six sacks throughout his entire four-year career, missed most of the 2020 season with a torn ACL injury, so he only had two combined tackles in 2020, but in the 2019 season where the 49ers made it all the way to the Super Bowl, he had 29 tackles and two sacks. His best season was his rookie season, where he had 41 combined tackles and three sacks. And so for Thomas, with that injury, the 49ers actually declined his fifth-year option in 2021. So despite the 49ers having the opportunity to bring Solomon Thomas back for 2021, they opted not to do so. And so he ends up getting hurt in 2020, and so the 49ers, I think, were very happy with their decision to not bring back Thomas and have a cap hit that would have been north of about $9 million, probably even higher than that. So for Thomas, he's someone who is an unrestricted free agent. Baltimore can sign him if they want, so there is no need to trade for Thomas. He's someone who the Ravens would be looking at as somewhat of, you know, a restoration project. Could they get Thomas up to the point that he was? Because he was a stud at Stanford when he was there, someone who was wreaking havoc both in the run and pass game. So he's someone who has the potential, but, you know, at this point, Thomas has had 4 years in the NFL, or I guess three if you're not including his injury that cost him most of that 2020 season, but he's 25. He's going to turn 26 in August, so it's not like he's done. It's not like his NFL career is over. He just needs a team that can take a chance on him and with the right coaching, get him to a point where he can be that dominant player that he was in college just at the NFL level. And with the Ravens and their defensive tackle group right now, Derek Wolfe is an unrestricted free agent. I would hope the Ravens bring him back because he provided excellent value. I talked about on the award show that we did with Spencer Schultz yesterday. He was my defensive MVP for the Ravens. So if you haven't checked that out, I highly recommend doing so. But for Thomas, he's someone who could provide the Ravens with some youth, because if you include Wolf in the group, that also includes Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, those guys are all over 30. So in a matter of time, in just a few years, unfortunately, Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, and Derek Wolf, all three of them will not be in Ravens uniforms. They'll probably all be retired. So the Ravens need to get that next generation, the next generation of dominant run defenders and dominant pass rushers from the interior. they've started to do that. They drafted Justin Madubuike in the third round. They drafted Broderick Washington in the fifth round last year as well. So two investments on the defensive line during the 2020 draft. I could potentially see Baltimore investing more in that position in the 2021 draft. But Thomas gives you someone who has been at the NFL level. He's had some success, but again, being the third pick, he did not live up to those expectations. So I certainly could see Solomon Thomas as an option for the Ravens, but is he someone that the Ravens could get on a cheap contract? And is he someone who the Ravens think they can restore and get back to his college production levels? Because if they can, if they take a chance on the talent that was the third overall pick, it could pay off for them in a really, really big way. Our final question here before we head into our first break comes from Elias Page, and he asks, which young Ravens veteran do you think will make the leap next season? And for me, this is a really interesting question because there are a bunch of, I guess, quote-unquote, young Ravens veterans, and I'll go with guys who are entering their fourth year or more. So that rules out Hollywood Brown, that rules out Miles Boykin and all those guys. But someone who I expect to take a big leap, who's still under contract by Baltimore and has some room to grow, but has also played really well over the course of his playing time where he was almost just thrust in there, is Chuck Clark. And Clark is someone who has been a really key piece of Baltimore's defense, but I did mention he has some room for improvement. And that just comes in some pass coverage areas. He sometimes struggled to match up with tight ends and some running backs out of the backfield and even some slot receivers at times. And that's not necessarily what Chuck Clark is known for, nor what he should be known for. He is that dime linebacker, the box safety, a guy who can come up and hit at the line. And he is the key communicator for the Ravens defense, very high football IQ. But I would like to see the jump from him, the big jump from him, to not just be that hitter, be the guy who can come up and run support and have some moments in pass coverage, but he is reliable and consistent in pass coverage. And over the course of the 2020 season, we just didn't see that consistency from him. And I think that overall, he could be someone who makes that jump and isn't just that good player who is a nice contributor, but he makes that jump into a stud. And with the way the Ravens can use him and can use Deshaun Elliott, and I assume they're going to bring in a free safety, a true free safety, either in the 2021 draft or through free agency, the way they can use those three guys, the way Don Martindale can move those guys all around the field, I think Clark will benefit from that a bunch. So I think that for me, Chuck Clark is someone who I expect to make a huge, huge leap. And then another underrated guy, someone who is a restricted free agent here in 2021, but I fully expect the Ravens to bring back and everything, is Chris Board. And the reason I'm making an effort to talk about Board right here is because I do expect him back in Baltimore. I'm not just talking about any free agent here. I'm talking about someone who, yes, is a restricted free agent and I think is a likely guy to return to Baltimore. And Board is someone who has been regarded as a special teams ace for a while, but truly got some playing time on defense in 2020. Had some really nice moments, can play a bunch of different positions all along the defense, can drop back to safety at times and can do a bunch of other things, but he showed some flashes in coverage. He showed some flashes in run support and flashes for making big plays. And I think, again, with more playing time, if the Ravens do decide to give it to him, which I think he does deserve, I think Board, if he is brought back, and again, I think that is a likely scenario. Obviously, nothing's set in stone yet, but a likely scenario is what I think it is. I think Board could be a phenomenal piece to this Ravens defense in 2021. So Chuck Clark and Chris Board are two guys that I think can make that huge leap in 2021 and overall just help Baltimore become that better defensive unit and up their games to the points where they're talked about among some of the best at their positions in the NFL. We're going to head into our first break here, but when we return, we'll be getting into more mailbag questions. So stay tuned for that and we will be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this midweek edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still hanging out with you here. And we just got into the first part of our mailbag in the first segment, but now here in the second segment, we're going to get into the last couple of questions, starting off with a question from Eric Clark, who asks, do you believe that with Keith Williams and T. Martin, that we should expect Eric DaCosta to go young at wide receiver? I know we say a veteran is needed, but look at what Tampa Bay did with their defensive backs. A bunch of young, hungry, like-minded players can be a cheap winning formula with the right coaching. And I think this is an extremely, extremely interesting point because Eric mentions the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their defensive backs. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be, that every single one of Tampa Bay's defensive backs was in their third year or younger. And that's a group that we look at the Ravens wide receiver core. Now we have guys that were entering their third years or younger, with Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin being guys entering year three, James Prochet and Devin Duvernay entering year two, and then whoever the Ravens bring in. I do think, again, the Ravens are going to keep six wide receivers on this roster. The Ravens have three free agent wide receivers who were on their active roster last season in Dez Bryant, Willie Snead, and Chris Moore. I don't expect any of those guys to return to the Ravens in 2021. It's unfortunate Dez Bryant has made some comments where he does not think that Baltimore is the best fit for him, so I think that's extremely unlikely. I think while Willie Snead has been a great player for the Ravens, he just doesn't move the needle for them enough, and so I think Baltimore will be looking for an upgrade in the offseason. And then Chris Moore, I'd be shocked if Chris Moore comes back, but hey, I was shocked last offseason that Chris Moore came back. I said throughout the whole offseason that I didn't expect Chris Moore back, and then what happened? Chris Moore came back. So I can never be right on 100% of these things, and I know that no one else can too, but the Ravens probably aren't giving up on one of their four young guys right now. If they were to give up on one of their four young guys right now, it would probably be Miles Boykin, because he has been the biggest bust out of the four based off of playing time and expectations and whatnot. But now becomes the key question. With the two spots available, assuming Baltimore does keep six wide receivers, do those spots go to veterans? Do they go to rookies? Do they go to a combination? Because ultimately, keeping seven wide receivers, I think, is too many. Keeping five, I think, is too little. So now it becomes, can the Ravens trust their coaching staff, their new coaching staff with Keith Williams and T. Martin? Can the Ravens trust those guys to go out and actually develop these guys, which has been a key issue for Baltimore throughout their entire franchise history? Or can they just go out, get some veterans, and rely on the skills that those veterans already have and hope that Lamar Jackson and those veterans can establish some chemistry really quickly? Now, in my personal opinion, I've been vouching for veterans. I don't think the Ravens need to draft a wide receiver in the 2021 draft. I have come around to it a bit more, though. I know that this is a process for all of us, right? We have key things that we're set in stone with and saying, well, the Ravens should do this and the Ravens should do that. But it's best to keep an open mind, and in all reality here, what I've realized is that the Ravens are most likely going to take a wide receiver in the 2021 draft. It's an extremely deep draft class, a lot of talented players, and the Ravens shouldn't pass up on talent just because talent that they've taken in prior years hasn't worked out. Now, I don't think the Ravens should take a wide receiver in the first two rounds of this draft, but getting someone who you can develop, who can make an impact of sorts in 2021 while also being able to let the young guys who are already on the roster get some shine in Devin Duvernay and James Prochet and even Boykin, I think that is the key wide receiver. A guy like a Des Fitzpatrick, who I mentioned on my Twitter, is my number one receiver for the Ravens in terms of skill set, production, and pure value in this draft. Someone who the Ravens could get in rounds 4, 5. Yeah, I could see him going as early as round 3, as late as round 6. But that's somebody who I think that Keith Williams and T. Martin could work with. But I'd still be shocked here if the Ravens went and drafted two wide receivers and went the Buccaneers route, just because I think the Ravens do know that they need to have some semblance of a veteran receiver on their roster to mentor these young guys. And it worked with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay did the young thing at defensive back and it worked. But with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens need their offense to be able to click both in the run game and the pass game. It's something we've been talking about throughout the entire course of the 2020 season, heading into this offseason here, and we've been talking about it a lot. But with the cheap winning formula, It certainly is. It certainly is, and Tampa Bay showed that as they won the Super Bowl with that young defensive back room. But developing defensive backs for Tampa Bay has been a bit easier than it has been for Baltimore developing these wide receivers, and so I think that they do need some proven guys, guys who know how to work defenses, work zones, get open, work back to Lamar Jackson, help Lamar Jackson out when he's in trouble. Sometimes rookies at the NFL level, they can't do that as well as veterans can. They haven't seen the things these veterans have seen. So for me, I do think at the end of the day, the Ravens will go with one veteran signing and one rookie. But again, I could be wrong here. That's just what my gut feeling is right now. So that would have the Ravens entering the 2021 season with 5 out of their 6 wide receivers entering year 3 or less if all holds up with the top 4 guys on their roster right now in Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin, Devin Duvernay, and James Prochet staying on the roster. So again, I think that it's going to be one veteran signing for the Ravens at wide receiver and one rookie drafted in the 2021 draft at receiver. Our final question here comes from Chris Gagnon, and he asks, what do you think about the Ravens reunion with Ricky Wagner if he doesn't retire for either tackle depth or a possible replacement if the Ravens were to move on from Orlando Brown Jr.? And yeah, Chris, this is an interesting point because Ricky Wagner is one of those guys who left Baltimore for a big payday, went to the Detroit Lions on a massive contract, and he did not play very well in Detroit. His most recent stop was in Green Bay, which I think a lot of people, and what I've been hearing and figuring out is that a lot of people in Green Bay are actually surprised at the move. Now, the move does save the Packers a decent amount of cap space, I think, with the release of Wagner and linebacker Christian Kirksey. Those two combined, I think, saves around $10 million in cap space. But Wagner played pretty well for Green Bay in 2020. He started 9 games for the Packers, and he actually ranked 8th among all tackles in ESPN's pass block win rate metric, and he's someone who also allowed just 1 sack. And those are good numbers. The Ravens, who would potentially be losing Orlando Brown Jr. here this offseason, could do really well by adding a guy like Ricky Wagner who could play on the right side and did struggle mightily in the NFC Championship game. It was a really, really rough game for Ricky Wagner there, but he's someone who could come back to Baltimore, and I think I would be open to that reunion. We saw a reunion just a few years ago with Pernell McPhee coming back to Baltimore after leaving for a big money deal from the Chicago Bears, another NFC North team, but you look at the Ravens and where they need guys right now, and I think that the Ravens always do need that tackle depth. They've needed it for the last couple of years. It really bit them when Ronnie Stanley went down, and then DJ Fluker starts to get injured, and Tyree Phillips misses some games as well, so the Ravens, I think, need a veteran there as well. I also could see them drafting a late-round tackle like a Landon Young out of Kentucky, and that could do some wonders for them. But Wagner is someone who hits the market as someone coming off a very successful 2020 season. He's obviously familiar with Baltimore, and while things have certainly changed since he last suited up in a Raven uniform with Joe Flacco with the quarterback helmet instead of Lamar Jackson, he could still be a very welcome and valuable, underrated addition to this Ravens team in 2021. So I'm all on board for this. Again, I'm not saying it's gonna happen, it's not gonna happen, and I'm sure Ricky Wagner is going to be a very popular name on the free agent market as a kind of backup, borderline starter-ish type guy. But I do think that he could do well to return to Baltimore. Again, Pernell McPhee saw a career resurgence once he returned to Baltimore after leaving, and maybe Wagner could see the same thing, especially given how well he played in 2020. So this is something to definitely keep an eye on as the free agency period kind of unfolds and as the next few weeks kind of happen. But Wagner and Baltimore could be a potential match here during the 2021 offseason. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we'll be talking about some mock drafts that we received via Twitter for Mock Draft Monday, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy, they're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, so be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this midweek edition episode of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Oshek, your host, still here talking with you. And we're now going to get into some more mock drafts that we received for Mock Draft Monday, but unfortunately I was not able to get to them on our Monday episode. So throughout the week, we're going to be looking at the other mock drafts that we got on Twitter. And we'll start off today's segment, today's mock drafts we'll be looking at with Brendan Ward, who has the Ravens taking wide receiver Rondale Moore out of Purdue with the 27th pick. Then he selects Joseph Ausai, the edge out of Texas at pick 58. At 104, he selects Quinn Miners, the center out of Wisconsin Whitewater. At 131, he takes Chuba Hubbard, the running back out of Oklahoma State. At 169, Shai Smith, wide receiver from South Carolina. At 184, Brendan James, the tackle out of Nebraska. And at 211, Tyron Jackson, the edge out of Coastal Carolina. And so I do like this draft. I like the value that Joseph Ausai presents at 58, that Quinn Miners presents at 104. I like Shai Smith. I'm intrigued by Shai Smith as a prospect. I do think he compares a little bit to Hollywood Brown, but I still think that he is talented nonetheless. Talking about Rondale Moore, an electric prospect, someone who was clearly one of the best receivers in this draft, but for Baltimore, as I kind of talked about earlier on this show, I'm not sold on them taking a wide receiver in the first round. Obviously, if it does happen, it's not like it's the end of the world. It's not like I'm going to be completely unhappy with it, because at the end of the day, talent is talent regardless of how many years you've played in the NFL. The difference is that veterans have proven their value while rookies and younger guys still need to show that, yeah, they had the production in college, but can that translate over to the NFL level? So that's another reason why I think Baltimore should sign two veterans, and why, again, I don't think Rondale Moore or Shai Smith are necessarily bad picks, but again, they do need to prove a bit more, and right now in Baltimore's window before Lamar Jackson's rookie contract expires and they have to give him a huge contract, that I think they should be looking to win now as much as possible. And while developing talent for the future is great and it's all good from that side of things, I do think that the Ravens have enough young guys on their roster that can develop into really big threats in this Ravens offense. And even here, taking two receivers, again, I talked about this earlier on the show as well, I don't necessarily think that the Ravens are going to do that. I'd be shocked if they did, and I guess crazier things have happened, but again, I just don't think that that's something that I'd do if I were the Ravens. Brendan James is a good prospect here, taking a tackle at 184 in the event that Orlando Brown Jr. does leave, and even if he doesn't, and then Tyron Jackson as well. The one pick I'm not on board with here is Chuba Hubbard. I don't think the Ravens should take a running back at all in this draft class. If anything, I think they would sign a veteran in free agency, but I do think that the Ravens are set with young running backs. Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill. I don't think they need to add a fourth to that mix. So overall, I think this is a good draft for the Ravens. I think that my only big change I'd make is switch out a guy like Chuba Hubbard for an interior offensive lineman, or take an interior offensive lineman in the first and take a guy like Des Fitzpatrick at 131. So you have a couple of rookie options at the interior offensive line positions with Quinn Miners and then whoever that might be. But still, I think this is a good draft, maybe also a safety instead, who knows. But outside of Chuba Hubbard, I think that the prospects in this draft are going to develop into really good football players. Finally here, we're going to take a look at two mock drafts from T.D. Hunter. His first mock draft, where he says that essentially he took the best player available and it just happened to align with Baltimore's needs. Rousseau and Dickerson are big names I could see falling. I'm especially in love with Lenoir's ability to play inside and out. And so with the 27th pick, T.D. Hunter selects Gregory Rousseau, the edge out of Miami. At 59, he takes Landon Dickerson, the interior offensive lineman out of Alabama. At 104, Patrick Jones, the edge player. And then at 132, Caden Stearns, a safety. At 169, he takes D'Amador Lenoir, the cornerback. At 184, Brendan James is the pick. And then at 212, Josh Imatorbebe is the selection, a wide receiver. So for this draft, yeah, I love Gregory Rousseau. I love Landon Dickerson. I talked about Patrick Jones on Monday, and I think that he's a phenomenal fit. D'Amador Lenoir is someone, the corner, who T.D. Hunter mentioned he can play inside and out. I talked about him a week ago. I selected him in my mock draft Monday. And then a bunch of guys who are nice depth pieces. Caden Stearns is a good safety. You have the offensive tackle at 184 who can either fill in or not fill in for Orlando Brown Jr. depending on what happens. And then Josh Imatorbebe is, I think, a really underrated receiver, kind of like that Des Fitzpatrick. I think Fitzpatrick goes before Imatorbebe, but still, there is a lot to like about him. So I'm all for this draft because it does fill needs. It gives Baltimore some nice edge players. It gives Baltimore a great interior offensive lineman who could be the best in this class if not for injuries. It gives the Ravens a safety who I think is needed, but again, the Ravens can work and look at how they can use all these guys that they have with Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott and with Caden Stearns in there as well if he is the selection. Lenoir, the corner, someone who I love and his ability to play inside and out, I do like as well. And then just a bunch of nice picks here. It's a well-rounded draft. I like where it's going, and it would give Baltimore immediate impact players as well as guys who can develop later in the future. T.D. Hunter's second mock draft was one that he said was just a fun one of players that he personally likes, but doesn't think the Ravens will take, but you never know. Jenkins is a versatile lineman, and Jordan can be that expensive playmaking tight end. Perkins and Tony are good value for where they were taken. So at pick 27, he selects Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle. At pick 59, Brevin Jordan, the tight end. At 104, Ronnie Perkins, the edge. At 132, Ardarius Washington, a safety. At 169, Shaka Tony. At 184, Thomas Graham, a corner. And at 212, Naquan Jones. And yeah, I mean, this draft is something where the Ravens, it fills a lot of needs, although there is not an interior offensive lineman selected here, so maybe I would replace Ronnie Perkins with an interior offensive lineman, replace Shaka Tony with an interior offensive lineman, just because those are both edges. Both Perkins and Tony are both edges, so maybe the Ravens could use an offensive line there. But I do like Jenkins a lot. He is versatile, and he brings a bunch of different skill sets to the NFL draft here. Brevin Jordan is explosive. I think maybe instead of expensive, the word T.D. Hunter meant to use was explosive, because I don't know what draft picks would necessarily be expensive, but for Brevin Jordan, he is explosive. He is a playmaker, someone who could go and make an impact immediately and be that third tight end in an offense that would feature Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle, and Brevin Jordan. Ardarius Washington, I like as well. I think he's a very underrated prospect. Thomas Graham gives the Ravens, again, corner is an underrated need. So the Ravens drafting a corner, I think Thomas Graham fits that well. And then talking about the interior defensive line, another underrated need, because Brandon Williams and Derek Wolfe and Calais Campbell are all over 30. So they need to start to develop that interior defensive line group for the next generation. But yeah, I do like this draft as well. If I had to take one out of the two drafts, I'd probably take the first one because the needs did fall in line with great players. But the second mock draft, you know, that's something that I also like. I think that with the Ravens, they have a bunch of needs in all teams throughout the NFL. They have a bunch of needs. Now, how do you fill those needs? Is it through free agency? Is it through the draft? We'll certainly find out over these next couple of weeks. But one thing is for certain, and that is that the Ravens, regardless of who they draft, with Eric DaCosta's draft history, they are going to get a bunch of phenomenal players. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be taking a look at some storylines that have happened throughout the week in Ravens football. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.